My name is Sheila. I'm a compulsive overeater. And our topic today is on the principles of the program and spirituality. And Ione is going to be our first speaker.
Good morning. Hi, I'm Ione. I'm a compulsive overeater. And one of the speakers, and a little bit nervous today, so where I'm like, should we flip a coin and see who goes first? Wrestle to the ground. So I'm really grateful to be here and just honored to be among my brothers and sisters. I'm going to just share with you, I'll qualify and share with you what it was like, what happened, and what it's like today, and referencing spirituality, of course, because that's why this program exists, to help keep me closer to my higher power and you as well. So again, I'm Ione, a compulsive overeater. I started program on May 22nd, 2002. And my abstinent date is May 25th, 2002 is when I started. May 22nd, 2003 is my abstinence date. I am a How-inspired sponsor, which means that I use the tools daily, and I weigh and measure most of my foods, even at times when I go out. What else do you need to know? I've been relieved of over 20 pounds. I'm not available right now to sponsor anyone new. And let's see, what else am I supposed to tell you? It'll come to me if I'm supposed to say anything else. So I began my journey into OA kicking and screaming. I am one of the intellectual types. I was always a very active person, a very studious person, and I thought I was going to study and meditate and kind of pray myself by myself. Well, as you can see, I didn't really have very much weight to lose. For me, it wasn't even about my weight. I was very crazy. As I said, I was an active child. My thing was sugar. I love sugar, baked goods. You know, I was the mommy's helper in the kitchen, cooking and baking and licking spoons and, you know, getting the big tub of red vines and eating them all and getting sick. And I mean, that was my life. I stayed slender because, as I mentioned, I was active and even overactive. I exercised a lot, sometimes up to 3 times a day, almost in a bulimic type of fashion. And that was my life in my, you know, my youth, in my 20s, and in my 30s. I had success, kind of success in my career. From the outside, you would look at me as a successful person. I dressed well, I had friends, I had cars, I had money, but nothing was very even. I was always weaving in and out of something because I was, you know, a slave to my addiction. I just was. I would go for months and not eat compulsively, and then I would just be in it. And then I would stop, and then I would be in it. So what brought me to the rooms was a desire for sanity and a desire to have a relationship, an intimate relationship. And I knew, because of the way I was acting and reacting to food, that I had an intimate partner, and it was the food, and the food needed to be moved out of the way. So as I mentioned, I kind of made this bargain with God, and I said, well, okay, I will investigate OA. You know, I will call the hotline. I didn't want to, and I said, and I'll give it, you know, if I don't hear back from OA by a certain date, then, you know, that means I had to do my own thing yet again. And of course, that day came, and here was the information from OA, and it was like, shoot. So I went to my first meeting, and I was mad. And the meeting that I went to is one of those rare meetings that had this concept of, what would you, crosstalk was allowed. So after the first meeting, after my first meeting, I had all these people come up to me and tell me what I was supposed to do, and da, 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 and of course I was one angry girly girl. So I thought, well, you know, this really isn't for me, but I'm going to come back next week and I'm going to tell them. I'm going to tell them about themselves. So I came back the next week, and, you know, I did, you know, make my statement. But you know what? I kept coming back and listening and being softened by the steps, being softened by people's tenderness with me. Because I was in a lot of fear. So part of the reason why I'm here, and the reason why I'm here, is to talk about my journey, my spiritual journey through fears, and my journey through the steps, because that's what relieves me of my fears. So I have to say, as I mentioned, I was resistant, very used to doing things on my own, and learn by going to the rooms, by participating, and just kind of not even participating, but sitting back and watching and judging, which is part of what my disease likes to do, watch, judge, you know, make opinions. I got to see how recovery was working for other people. About a year into program, when I was doing it on my own, and I didn't have a sponsor, and I wanted to show the group that, you know, you didn't need to have a sponsor in order to be abstinent. You didn't need to do that. I had almost a year of abstinence, and then I had a huge binge, an embarrassing binge. And I had to lead a meeting that the following Sunday, and that's what got me in my seat, knowing that I couldn't do it alone and that I needed the help of the group. So from that journey, I made an adventure, and I made a decision, a spiritual decision, or God made it for me, to have a sponsor. And I had a sponsor who walked me through the steps, gently, persistently, with love and with great boundaries, walked me through the steps. And I was amazed. Because even in my year of, you know, doing it on my own, I was still having slips with abstinent food. Because, you know, I was going to meetings, but I wasn't working. And I was surprised. I remember saying to him, after I had been working with him for a couple months, I said, I'm not having slips anymore. It's not happening. And he said, well, you know, you're working the steps. And I'm like, yeah. So, how do I work the steps today, and why does it matter to me? How I work the steps today is humbly. I'm aware more and more as I walk this journey how much I need the principles of the program and my sponsor and the tools in order to keep me in fit spiritual condition. So there's not a problem or issue that comes my way today that I can't turn over to my higher power. But I had to be broken first. And I'm still getting broken. And I guess maybe a better word to say is healed. So when I allow myself the experience of riding on the steps and working the steps, all the falseness inside of me, the part that's ready to be removed for today, because that's another thing about me. I thought when I was trying to work the program on my own or being outside of program that if I just put enough willpower on it, if I put enough of my own, you know, grit and gristle on it, then I could do it. I could do it. And I never could. And even in the rooms, when I get that way of thinking I can put enough grit and gristle on it, then I know, oh, I'm insane. I did make a choice to have my higher power guide me. And then, you know, the upset feeling inside of my body, the confused thoughts, they start dissipating. And then I see what my correct next action step is. So how that works on a day-to-day basis with my life is, I'll tell you, I am a person who is experiencing illness right now, physical illness right now. And in the past, what I would have done was gotten angry, eaten over it, gotten angry again, eaten over that, and I would be in this continual cycle of what I call a self-abuse. Again and again and again. Now I have my feelings, which for me are expressions of my higher power. To have feelings is to be alive and not to be numb. So I have my feelings of anger and upsettedness. I allow that, and then I allow the next right step, which is how can I work my program to help me get through this time? Not here's my program over here, here's my illness, but no, God, my diseases, my health, my wellness, that's all integral now. It's not in bits and pieces like it was before recovery. You know, my work was here, and my relationships were over here, and, you know, my food was here. You know, it was not like that now. It's like everything is more, I'm more in integrity. Also the thing that helps me keep in fit spiritual condition is to remember, and I was really touched yesterday by the speaker when he talked about what is the purpose of our program? What is the purpose of OA? And it's to give back. It's to give back what I've been so generously given. And I'm aware just watching people at the conference this weekend, listening, and then also remembering how so many people touched my life, were patient with me, allowed me, you know, my fits and starts and my tantrums as I was going through these various stages of being, I used to say, and I said this morning, broken down, but I would say opened up, blooming, blossoming, that I have a responsibility to give what I've so generously been given. I don't know about you all, but I know my disease always will tell me you are not enough. You're not doing enough. You're not being enough. You're not active enough. You're not thin enough. You're not smart enough. You know, all that. So I suffer from a disease of lack at the same time that I could suffer from the disease of more food to help numb those kinds of feelings, more. And what I was thinking this morning is that, you know, there's only one more that I need. There's only one more that I need, and that's God. You know, for me, the grand healer and master of my life, that has reordered my thoughts, that has helped me face, you know, lots of ups and downs in my outer circumstances with jobs, with relationships, with health, and face it with a spiritual plan of action that involves other people. So much of my recovery journey has been about, Ione, where can you open up to others? Where has your disease kept you isolated, afraid, tucked into yourself because you don't want people to really see who you are? And what I get to learn every day is that, you know what? I am being given permission every day by this program, by my higher power, to be who I really am, because that's what the truth is. The more honest I am and intend to be, the more I get, I'm open to different experiences where my disease tells me, "Oh, you got it covered. You know everything." It's like I can hear that voice and I can recognize the insanity of it, And if you would have told me 7-8 years ago that I even had a voice that would tell me things like that, I couldn't even relate to that. That wasn't my experience. I couldn't hear it. Now, even though I can hear the craziness and sometimes it's very frightening, I can sit back and I could say, okay, God, show me what's real. Thank you. So I don't really know what else to say. I think I've kind of been all over the map about spirituality and my walk with my higher power. Every day is different. Every day I get new information about what needs to be healed and what has been healed. And I think what's new for me right now in my recovery walk is learning to really celebrate the changes and understand that anything that I'm being faced with, you know, the answer to it, you know, challenge or opportunity is always God, that's always the softer way. And when I can turn to my higher power, when I can turn to the steps and the traditions, I don't know, something changes inside of me. My experience about what's going on outside of me is different. I no longer am so bent on seeing the outside world as something that's against me. I see circumstances in my outside world as, oh, these are circumstances in my outside world. Oh, I have a spiritual program in my inside world, and oh, it's also in my outside world. Woohoo! I get to have help. I think that's a blessing today, the blessing of help that comes through the program. So just grateful for today and to be abstinent today. You know, just so very grateful to live my life closer to the earth and closer to God. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
My name is Sheila, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Very grateful to be recovering from a disease I didn't know I had. I came into program in 1975, and my abstinent date would be January of the following year. To me, it was really important to find out what was wrong, because I just thought I had a problem with weight, and I had been yo-yo dieting since I was probably about 12, although my disease started when I was 5. To know that I had a disease that there was a solution to began to change my whole outlook on what was the matter, because I never ever thought about having something that I could put a name to. I thought I was weak. I thought I just didn't know how to diet. I thought I just didn't know how to get it straight. And I found something in these rooms that I have not wanted to leave, because it was a solution not only to my food problem, but also to a life problem and a thinking problem. I didn't realize that my thinking was distorted in any way, but my thinking was, I never was good enough. So I was always trying to, you know, the envelope was always higher than what I could ever be. And so I was always trying to reach for something that was really beyond my reach, which amounted to just taking myself exactly the way I was. And that's what I found in the rooms of OA, was the love, the acceptance, the stuff I needed to learn how to give myself. And I didn't know how to do that. Well, today we're talking about staying in character, practicing these principles. Well, I didn't know what these principles were. I was in OA for a really long time. And I started in Chicago, moved to Alaska, and then down to Yakima, Washington. And I was delegate up in Alaska, and I came down to one of these Region 1 meetings. And I was at one of the OA, you know, after meetings where we're doing just a meeting and not even having a particular topic. But this is what the leader of the meeting read to me. And I thought, oh my gosh, the principles that we're supposed to practice in all our affairs, they're actually written somewhere. I didn't know that. So they are on page 293 of Voices. I love to start my day with For Today and end my day with Voices. And I can't get over how many times I read this, and there's always a new, how did I miss that the last time? Anyhow, this is what it said. It is in the OA message, in our steps and traditions, that we find solutions to our problems. Living by these principles has saved our lives. And of course, I think, principles, there it is again. So I'm going to find out what the principles are. Honesty, hope, faith, courage, integrity, willingness, humility, self-discipline, love, perseverance, spiritual awareness, service, unity, trust, open-mindedness, responsibility, acceptance, equality, and fellowship. Oh my gosh, I thought, how can I manage to do all those? Well, then she went on to say that they were connected with the steps and the traditions. And I thought, oh, okay, you know, I need a roadmap. I need to kind of be directed. This is the way to go. And that became my roadmap. The steps began to make more sense to me. You know, I could say the steps, I could use the steps, but there was something that happened when I thought, well, there's just really one word I need to put with each one of these steps. So I've written out some stuff that's right out of your 12 and 12 book, but I'll share some thoughts on how that particular principle has applied in my life. In our OA 12 and 12 book, it says, the principles embodied in the steps begin to replace our old way of life, which centered upon me and compulsive eating. So this was going to be moving me toward a more spiritual way of life. And I would always confuse religion and spiritual. And as I sat around the tables in the rooms, and I heard about people describing spirituality as being a connection, not only with myself and you and a higher power in the universe, I began to get a whole different slant on my life. And, of course, to practice these principles in all our affairs. So it didn't mean just my food. It meant if a problem came up, I had to find a solution in those steps or in the traditions. And I've found that. Okay, so step one, the principle is honesty. Well, powerless over food. Boy, I knew I was powerless over food. And the hard part was the unmanageability that I was experiencing in my life. And I was kind of ashamed to talk about that because I thought, well, then people are really going to know that I'm not too perfect. And I'm not, you know, and that was kind of one of the things that I always felt like I had to be perfect. Of course, I never could be, but that was kind of what I was trying to do, not realizing that that was a very self-centered thing to be doing. And then coming to believe that I couldn't manage my life alone, and I had a hard time with that word insanity. You know, I thought insanity, that means I'm supposed to be in a mental institution somewhere. And what I came to believe is that the insanity was what I did with food. How I was stuffing down all my feelings. I never listened to my feelings. It was bad to have feelings unless they were, you know, the kind put a smile on your face and, you know, be happy and don't upset people and don't talk about things that are, you know, dirty laundry kinds of things. And so that was a brand new experience. I don't think I talked for the first 6 months that I was in program because it was like sharing all these secret kinds of things and people are going to know about me, who I really am, and they're not going to like me. And that was not okay in the family that I grew up in. So hope was the next principle that I got from step two, that I could begin to hope that I could have a life different than the life I was leading. And I mean, materially, I mean, I had good stuff. I mean, that part of my life was good, but it was the inside stuff. You know, the stuff that I kept hidden, the stuff that I wouldn't tell anybody else, the turmoil that went on when something would happen. And it's like, where can I go and talk about this and find safety? And so that's what I found, is that I could talk about anything in a way. I could have a sponsor. I could talk with that sponsor about anything, and it would be okay. And they weren't going to run and tell my mom about this, or they weren't going to tell my siblings about this. You know, it was going to be something that was just, so it was the beginning of not only love, unconditional love, but a place where I could really be honest. Wasn't good to be honest when I was growing up. Got me into lots of trouble. So step three, you know, the principle's faith, a belief that God knows best and will grant me guidance and strength if I ask. Wow, was that ever a big thing? And do you think I was going to trust that higher power? I mean, I grew up with the kind of God that, you know, was keeping score, and, you know, if I wasn't good, it was going to, you know, there was a little tally, and there were, you know. So anyhow, that's one of the many things that I'm so grateful about with this program, because step three has given me permission to have my own concept of a God that's loving, caring, accepting me, guiding me, doing so much for me that I couldn't do for myself. And the first part of that was putting down the food. You know, I didn't know how to do that. I mean, I tried all the diets from, you know, age 12 on. And, I mean, I could lose the weight, but then I put it back on. And, and I maintained a 45-pound weight loss. I never, just toward the end before I came into OA, I mean, I skyrocketed up to, like, you know, I don't even remember now how much it was, because I wasn't going to look at the scale. I was so ashamed of what was going on with me. Anyhow, back to step three. You know, the faith that I could actually have this help. And initially, that faith was in people like yourself. It was the power of the group. The group was having success. They were practicing these steps, and they were having success. And I thought, you know what, I can do that. I'll come up with, you know, God and I will talk later. And today, I can talk to my God about everything that's in my heart. And I feel so grateful for that. Now, my grandma, I can remember, she helped me a little bit talking to God. You know, she says, Sheila, something's kind of on your mind. You know, it's okay to have a conversation with God about it. Well, that was like brand new, because I didn't hear that at church. I didn't hear that at home. And, you know, but that grandma established that way back when I was little. So when I came into program and I heard other people talk about talking to God, it's like, wow. So I'm so grateful for that. I don't have to carry stuff around. Step four gave me courage. Boy, did I need courage, because I didn't know how to live life without being afraid. And I wouldn't have thought of myself as a fearful person, but I have come to find out that underneath everything, I'm scared to death. You know, so if a problem came into my life, what did I do? Well, you know, food, you know, eliminated. And pretty soon the feeling was gone, until about half an hour later, and then the feeling would be right back again. So I had to eat some more. You know, so I had to keep doing the sedation thing, you know. So I needed a lot of courage. Fear will no longer run my life, and I'm able to admit my faults. So those were two really big things, being able to talk with somebody else about who I really was. Step five is an integrity step. I liked that word, integrity. I thought, that sounds really good. But I didn't know if I had integrity, because I was never being honest with myself or with other people. Anymore, I don't need to appear perfect. In fact, I kind of laugh about it sometimes. Now, oh, there's that perfection thing going off. And I can face my mistakes as well as challenges presented to me. So there's been numerous things that have happened. When I came into program, I was married for a first time and had three children. And it was a pretty chaotic home. There was a lot of addiction going on in the house. And I found that there was a way to handle things a day at a time, a situation at a time. I used to, you know, I'd overwhelm myself with thinking about, I got to solve this, 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 and this, rather than, you know, just one thing at a time. I had to learn how to calm myself down. Step six, the willingness step, learning to cooperate with my higher power, learning to want what my higher power wanted for me rather than what I wanted. And I wasn't easy to give up. Mom always said I was stubborn. The good part about being stubborn, when I became willing to turn that stubbornness over to a higher power, I found out that I could be persevering. And I needed a lot of perseverance as things were kind of dumped in my lap as life went on. Step seven, the humility step, to become one of many, not more than or less than. And I was always kind of at the bottom of the heap, you know. And then once in a while, it would kind of like, oh, well, I'm better than. And it's like, It really surprised me that I had that part of myself, but I do. And so now I know I've got a resource. I can go to 6 and 7. I can become willing. I can ask my higher power to help me with that. And so I don't need to worry about that. But I do need to go. Oftentimes I say, I spend a lot of time with steps 6 and 7 because I know that in due time, God, my higher power, is going to remove that character defect or find a way to use it. Step 8. Step 8 takes some self-discipline. That is the characteristic, the principle of step 8 is the self-discipline. Beginning to repair some of the damage that I had made as I was on my journey with my compulsive eating before I found Overeaters Anonymous. I had to look at my relationships. I had to look at those people closest to me. And I can remember thinking a couple of times, well, I know who really needs to have this fourth step inventory. And I could even help them put it down on paper. But you know what? I couldn't get away with that. My sponsor says, you clean your side of the street. That's the only thing that you've got any control over. So if you want what we've got, this is what you got to do. I've had some wonderful sponsors along the way that have taught me so many wonderful things that I didn't know how to do. My roadmap, needing that roadmap. Step 9, love. Being willing to go and make the amends and learning how to accept people as they are. And I didn't think I'd ever be able to do that because I thought, well, if they would just do it this way. I, too, was one of the directors that Lori talked about last night. And I never thought about myself until we were studying the big book. And here's this thing about the director of the play. And I thought, that was my job. I was the mom. I was supposed to be the heart of the home. And I was supposed to be directing everything. And so, and if they would just listen and do what I told them to do, things would be so much better. But, they didn't get that. For some reason, they were antagonized when I was trying to be the director. So finally, I heard in the rooms that there were a lot of us directors out there. And if they could find a solution, I thought, I'm going to do what they're doing. And that's going to help make a difference. Hey, do I do this perfect? Absolutely not. There's just no way I can do this program perfect. That's why I keep showing up. There's no way I cannot come because there's just still more to learn. Step 10, perseverance. There it is. That's that word that, finally I began to see all that stubbornness really paid off, that I could be stubborn in doing the program, stubborn in showing up for meetings. I could use that perseverance in a different way, the stubbornness in a different way in the form of perseverance. Ione mentioned healing, and I did need to be healed. Mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I didn't know that when I came into the program. And today I'm grateful that it's an ongoing process, that I am in recovery. I never feel like I can say I'm done, that I've recovered, because I feel like it's something that continues to happen every day. I learn more about myself. I learn more, from people, how you share, how you're handling things in your life, that maybe I would have just had to go back to the food. I would have had to run. Step 11, spiritual awareness. As I continue through prayer and meditation to seek God's presence in everything. I mean, it's just amazing. I don't think I got that initially, when it came to step 3, because, there were certain things I just didn't think that God really knew. It's like when I came into the program and I thought, well, how is God going to handle my food? I mean, that's my job. He's much too busy. It's got more important things to deal with. And I have felt that with different things that have happened in my life that I thought, well, I'm responsible. I need to take care of this. Well, sure, I do footwork, but I can't do even my footwork without the help of asking each morning for my higher power to guide me and to be with me. Step 12, service. Well, when I started program back in Chicago, service was, you can stand and greet people at the door. You can make coffee. There was always something that you could do, and I didn't realize how that really kind of helped me coming back. Oh, this one time, I was supposed to have the meeting at my house, and my husband was going out of town, and I had an opportunity to go with him. I says, well, I can't go. I got to do this meeting. I mean, talk about taking it too seriously. And I still have a problem with being too serious at times. And I thought, well, I can ask somebody else to do the meeting. Well, of course you can. Yeah. And so, I mean, just something as little as that was the beginning to see I could make choices in my life with the guidance of my higher power that I felt like I had to do everything I wrote. Here, using the spiritual principles from the steps, we are given a map to live our lives without the use of food. Wow, I thought that's what I want to continue to have. I don't want to go back to the craziness of eating the food. So each day that I live well, I can be well. And I thought, wow, that's really, it doesn't get any better than that. So when I came over yesterday, a group of us come over from Yakima. I didn't know I was going to speak. And Judith approached me and she says, oh, yeah, that's right. I've got you down to speak. And I says, you do? I says, I'm helping with literature, but I don't think I'm supposed to be speaking. And she says, oh, yeah. She says, you're down here. I says, you never sent me an email. Oh, she says, I must have slipped up. So I was kind of like, oh, my gosh, am I going to let this ruin, you know, last night? Or am I going to turn this over to HP and say, I don't know what I'm going to say. But, you know, we just were talking about this in our meeting. We just had done step 12 that kind of goes through the principles. I thought, you know what, you can do this. Okay, Judith, I'm willing to do this. So I'm just so grateful to be here, grateful that you're here, and grateful that we all have an opportunity to live our life in a much different way than before we walked in the doors of Overeaters Anonymous. Thank you. Now, those of you who would like to speak can come up here in front of the mic and kind of share your thoughts on what you heard or just any of your thoughts on the principles or whatever you would like to say. Mic is open.
I'm Judy, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Judy.
And I thought I'd come first and follow Sheila because I moved out of Yakima when she moved in, and I've had the privilege of watching what she's done in that town, and it's amazing what service can do, and I'm so grateful that she was able to do that. And so I just have a real special feeling, and I haven't heard her speak before, so this is sort of special. The principles. I've been thinking a lot lately about the principles, and I was introduced to them many, many years ago, got the handout, got the lists, you know, got the little statements about what they all mean, and I didn't get it. And I've come to a way of understanding that I wanted to share, and it's my understanding. Take it if it means something to you. But the steps to me have always been like individual, you know. There's a step, and then there's a space, and then there's another step, and then there's a space, you know, if you visualize it. And so with the principles, I've been able to visualize a chain that's all interconnected and connected. And I've put in my way of thinking and understanding the gifts and rewards of the programs and reading the promises and putting them all together into this chain. And what I've discovered is that helps me with alignment with my higher power, that this alignment means no matter where I'm at, I can look at this chain and know what step I need to be working at. So for me, step one, the principle is honesty. If I'm honest, I get that little tiny tingle of a reward of hope, and it shoots me to step two, and then I can live in hope until I get this little tiny reward of faith. And then that shoots me into step three. And I can live in faith until I get that little tiny reward of courage. And then it shoots me into step four. And so when I do my 10-step inventory, I visualize these chains. And I do this with people that I sponsor. And I ask, you know, what are you feeling now? Where are you? And if they're feeling hopeless, that means they need hope and
need to be working step one, which will shoot you into hope, in my view. Or if they're afraid, then we work step three again and shoot you into the courage to be honest and do that inventory on a daily basis. So I just wanted to share that sort of visualization about the chain, because to me that means I'm not broken at any point in my troubles in my real life. I'm connected to my higher power, but I might have a weak link. And if I can identify, you know, each day where my weak link is, then I go back and I read about that and I study it. So I hope that means something to somebody else. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Janice, a compulsive eater.
Hi, Janice.
And I just came up to claim my seat. But I wanted to share with you guys something that happened at breakfast. I don't really like to eat alone, and so I came up to somebody else that was eating alone. Turns out she's from Missoula, so we were talking about the 2010 convention next year. And she was sharing with me that they were kind of nervous because it's not a very big, the groups are small, they're spread out, and so they're kind of nervous about taking on this big job. And I just started doing Ways and Means last year through our intergroup, and so we connected, and I'm going to help them, hopefully, with Ways and Means with the help of my higher power and my mentor here. So that's just the way higher power works. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Hadia. I wanted to bring, I've been in program as long as you have, and I've been through four steps about five times by now. And I want to just bring up, you know, during my day, if something hits me, all that stuff goes out the window. That's all I can say. I'll even think about God, but when I want something, you know, the feelings, I'm not even aware of it. Although, like somebody talked about not being aware of it. I'm aware now that there's a feeling, but it just goes out the window. And, I mean, I've been in program long enough that I don't, you know, I keep on a program, but the feeling is something, and I'm just curious what other people do or are even aware of it, what goes on, because, I mean, I'm not, the anxiety just hits me so hard that, for me, God, for that moment, is not there, and it's all like lip service. Yes, I believe very deeply in God and higher power, and I know this program has saved my life. There is no question. But on that, those moments, what do people, I'm just curious how to handle, you know, it's not even how to handle it. What goes on and how some people are relieved of it.
Yes, come to the mic, please.
I'm Marilyn. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi. I have very little to say in answer to your question, except that I'm kind of a retired nurse. I've had a lot of therapy, psychotherapy, before I even started OA, and I just came back after years of suffering without. But anyway, I think we really do have to be somewhat, I mean, maybe this will help one person, okay, somewhat in touch with our physical, the reality of our physical bodies. We do have a physical body like an animal, and we can't deny our physical bodies, and we can't deny the connections in our brains, which, you know, cycle with our emotions. and our instincts. God has created us this way. So I'm already forgetting kind of what the gist of your question. Could you tell me once again? The gist? Oh, when things go out the window. Yeah. You know, that's okay. That's normal. That's part of the way we're created, and we were raised, all of us, differently. But some of our wiring is not going to change, and we have to accept our animal, physical bodies and our mental cellular stuff that goes on in the chemistry. And then, you know, I think those of us who have been in program at all have more tools to catch ourselves. You know, we might be in, you know, kind of a confused state for a little while and forget everything, but then we'll come back. We'll come back to it. And if we can kind of keep the perspective going of the reality of our animal being, of our instincts, of our hardwiring, and then all the blessings, you know, of what we've learned and you know, how we can continue to grow. That's, to me, the spiritual part of it. Thanks. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ione. I'm a compulsive overeater. I better get my glasses on. I really like the question. And my recent experience around feelings has been about what I just heard about the connection between my body, my mind, my feelings, my spirit. And I get to take all of that. Even those moments when I'm out, when I think I'm out of sync with my higher power, with my spiritual program, I get an invitation to go back as soon as possible. How do I do that? How have I been practicing it? How has it worked for me? Is I have to envision my higher power and some of the symbols, because I'm a very visual person, I'm a visual learner, that I've been given as meditation, as healings, if you will. And I get to place those things in my body or in places in myself where I feel that anxiety. That slows me down and it calls me back to my body, back to the present moment, back to clarity, back to ground zero. And I don't have to eat over it. I don't have to act out. And I really like what I heard said about, you know, it. We are going to have those moments where, I mean, and I'll speak for myself. I have those moments where it's like, oh, where are you? Where are you got? Come on, I need you now. And what I've been called is that's my call to clarity. When I'm asking, you know, where are you? Where are you, God? It's like, where are you, Ione? Where are you? What do I get to do to come back? And I'm very, very grateful that my higher power has given me some gifts to help me get back to myself and get back in the spiritual rhythm. So that's what I got. Thanks.
My name is Sheila. I'm still a compulsive overeater. I loved this question because I, too, didn't know what to do when something hit me and I wanted to control or I wanted to eat. I wanted to do something about it. And what I do is I hold on to two of the tools. And I learned this from a sponsor that wouldn't even talk to me until I wrote. And every time I'd call her with one of my things, she'd say, Sheila, have you written yet? No, call me back later. And so I would have to sit down and do that. But sometimes even before I wrote, I would pick up one of the 24-hour books to quiet myself down. I didn't know I had that capability to quiet myself down. And so the tools are there for a purpose. I mean, they help me to do the steps because they kind of get me ready to actually accept that I have to do, you know, the powerlessness and the unmanageability. So anyhow, that's what I've got.
mine right over here. Actually.
My name is Jenny. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Jenny.
Hello. I've had some, I'm still relatively new to the program, but I've just discovered the most amazing thing through an experience I had a few weeks ago where I was in my head so much, and I was going around and around like we tend to do, and I just was not giving it up. The concept was not even there. And a friend of mine called, and she was having some issues, man issues, but she was really agonizing about this, and I just kind of stopped. She's a very giving person, and I thought, you know what, I need to give back to this person, and just sat there and talked to her about her feelings and her agony around this whole thing, and I got off the phone, and I realized, oh my God, I'm totally out of my head. I'm out of that self-centered feeling that I'm the only one in the world. I have these issues. I'm all alone. I'm isolated. So something my sponsor talks about is God with skin. I'm sure everybody's heard that, that you need to reach out and connect. And that just reminds you that there's a higher power out there that's there for the taking. There are so many ways of doing that. But for me, I've realized that the service to other people in the program and other human beings is a huge one for me. So thank you.